right now with any luck at all. We'll continue on with This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And we never do this, so we're going to do it right now. Let's introduce Janet Manco first. Janet, good morning.
Good morning.
We never do that.
I know, but that's okay. We should start. I'm fine with that.
I figure it was time to do that.
Well, thank you. But,
Switching things up.
Let's hear everybody else.
That's all right. And now,
so important.
Because there is many other people here.
Yeah.
Well, we have a full studio. We have Cynthia, good morning. And you brought along Gabby and Quincy.
That's right. Gabby, quickly introduce yourself.
I'm Gabby Sartori. I was here 2 weeks ago, I think, and I'm back.
She was at Serum. She was coaching at Serum Soccer Camp. We like it when they come back. And speaking of people coming back.
Hi, I'm Quincy Cabot. I was here last year, and yeah, now I'm back.
We're super happy he's back.
You know,
back.
Quincy, you're the only Quincy we've ever had on this radio station. No one by that name has ever
been on
the station.
Not even a medical examiner.
No, maybe the only person with the letter Q in their name.
Maybe.
All right. He's special.
And also back is Andy. Good morning,
Andy. Hi, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay.
All right. We're all in and accounted for.
That's us. We can begin
school.
Yes.
All right. And this week in the Lakeville Journal, we'll start off with the railroad days because tonight, of course, is Family Fun Night from 5 till 7.
That's right. And Quincy and Gabby will be there covering it for us, taking photos. And Family Fun Night is going to have, do you guys remember what you're going to be covering tonight?
Yes, the annual ping pong drop.
Which Marshall loves to talk about. And do you remember anything else? Hay Maze, Haystack Maze. And if you want to find out exactly what's happening on Family Fun Night, turn to the Compass this week. We have the Railroad Days schedule, and it has all of the different activities. But you can also read about it and see photos next week in the Lakeville Journal.
All right. And to the right of that story, a story by Shane, Knights Templar acquire the church in North Canaan, which I covered as rather extensively.
Yes, and so quite a lot of conversation going on from the Marshall Miles Post online. And so Shane Stanfield from North Canaan, who was our summer intern for 3 weeks and has gone off on a hiking trip to Hadrian's Wall with his father, he actually attended a service there just to sort of see what the vibe was and spoke to Brian Jones, who's the representative of them. And they are saying, you know, we're doing Anglican church services there under the Reverend Robert Fredrickson, and they have strongly disavow any link to the alt-right extremist group in England, and they say we are here to protect the poor and the weak, and that's what Knights Templar do.
Okay. We'll move on to a great story, and I love the picture below it as well. The art exhibit launch about memories of Apollo 11.
So I actually went over to the D.M. Hunt Library and saw this wonderful exhibit, the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11, landing on the moon. Art, super diverse collection of art by many of the local artists who we love. Gail Jacobson did something very crafty and artisan, and Karen Lesage has one of her beautiful, sort of watery, moody pieces, a couple actually. And our local treasure, Robert Andrew Parker, who I think I have appreciated more since Ann Day has started saying to me, he is an amazing, he's lovely
amazing.
And great and fun, but Ann's estimation, he's a great artist.
He's a Renaissance man.
And just remarkably talented in any number of areas.
Right, and super world-class.
And handsome.
And charming. And so he's got pieces, four pieces, I think, that are moon-related at this show at the D.M. Hunt Library, which is still up, but also he will be at the Rose Allgrant Art Show, which is August 9th, I believe.
You know, I don't think anybody who wasn't around in 1969 when we landed on the moon that really, outside of me, out of the Kennedy assassination, was one of the moments, along with the Berlin Wall later on. But that
and
just,
the Beatles on Ed Sullivan.
But no, did you just stick with you? I mean, I don't think people can appreciate the world actually watched the whole world.
Yeah,
was involved in that landing on the moon.
Well, and I think also when you talk about the 60s and what a very down time it was with the Vietnam War and with the assassinations, like what an up incredible accomplishment.
And it seems like it was just yesterday,
but
it's not. Yeah. Let's go to Cornwall and the paper ballot expected on the septic, right?
Yes. Well, Gabby's going to try and explain this. It's complex.
Good luck, Gabby.
Thank you. Cynthia might have to chime in here. But essentially, the town of Cornwall is having a conversation. A town meeting vote of who should pay for the septic, whether it should be just the village of West Cornwall or the whole town itself.
And actually, so the vote is how much that is to approve the amount, but the essential question, as you note, is
who should should the town of Cornwall pay for the studies and the actual work of it, or just the
people.
Village?
Yes. So that's the sub-question, which is not technically on the ballot, but that seems to be what we are hearing a lot about, and Janet will talk about that when we get to letters.
All right. I like to picture a cool rush, even though I think it's insane.
You know, these waterfalls are super dangerous, and I think last year or the year before, I can't remember which, I went down to Falls Village on a hot weekend, and there were tons of Latinos from New York who were, you know, camping out all over the shores. And I think maybe come from places where water is more benign. And those falls are very, very dangerous. And we want to remind everybody, especially out-of-towners, don't take it for granted. That is not a gentle waterfall. It is a super rough waterfall.
And Nature's Notebook with Tim Abbott.
Patrick Sullivan read this and said, do we really need to know what underwear Tim Abbott was wearing when he was doing reenacting? But yes, Tim Abbott wrote about something that I had actually wondered, because we know that he is a colonial-era reenactor. On a super hot weekend, he went up to Fort Ticonderoga to take part in an event. And, of course, all the clothing that they wear is wool. And so he describes what that was like. And he may have talked about his undergarments, but he did not talk about what it smelled like to be surrounded by 100 sweaty people wearing wool. Because that's my question. Scratch
probably
answer.
Like just being around someone who's been on the Appalachian Trail for like 16 weeks.
Yes. Yes. And as we all know, that's a strong
We've
smell.
We've all been around them.
Yeah, yes. That's right. And they're great people. Don't get me wrong. I
love it.
The people that do the Appalachian Trail thing.
Bless them.
Yeah, honest to gosh. They said it's an amazing thing. All right, let's go inside a plant for fall under the summer sun.
And Jana Siller, who is our farming expert, of course, lucky enough to have her own greenhouse so she can plant her own seedlings. It's tough at this time of year. If you want to plant fall crops, there's not really starters that you can get at most of the local plant stores, but I'm sure that many of them do. You may need to call around a little bit, but now's the time to start planting your kohlrabi and your radishes and things that you plan to keep into the autumn.
Kohlrabi is so good in the wintertime.
Kohlrabi is astonishingly good.
I make a kohlrabi soup that is just unbelievable.
Oh, good to know.
With mushrooms and garlic and onions. Ooh. Oh, my God. Well, anyway, so we'll go on to North Canaan, the town historian, Catherine Boughton.
Catherine Boughton, who is the most fascinating person, and we've spent a lot of time with her, the interns, this summer. And she's giving a talk Friday night, 5 to 7. A person who lives in North Canaan, whose name is being kept private at the moment, has amassed a very large collection of ephemera and important documents and little bits of this and that, and it's really interesting to look at. And Catherine feels very strongly that the History Center should have it, and they need to purchase it, and so she's going to allow people to come in and take a look at some of the bits and pieces of it on Friday night, but she's also going to make the case for people to make donations, so please do go. And then she'll be giving a talk at 7 o'clock about Charlie Pease, who is, of course, an important North Canaan person. Gabby, quickly, do you want to talk about the Pease Museum and what the story that you wrote?
Yes, so Charlie Pease has a fascination for taxidermy, and he helped to establish the library in Canaan, and when he did, they displayed his taxidermy in the upstairs of the library.
It is super beautiful to look at, and we have the story on that in our upcoming Discover the Canaans, which comes out in mid-August. And also for that issue, Quincy Cabot went to the opening on Friday, which we don't have in this week's paper, but will be in Discover Canaan of the Railroad Museum. Do you want to talk about that for a second?
Sure. So after a soft opening last week, on Wednesday, the new Railroad Museum within the Canaan Union Station Depot opened up. It's fairly small, but there's a lot of great things in it. That they have pictures of all of the history related times of the Canaan Union Station.
Lots of old trains, yeah. And old station photos, and
yeah, there's train models, and it's a great place to be.
Open Saturdays, 10 a.m.
They've got a big thing going on this weekend also during Railroad Days at that museum where they're having a talk and stuff like that. So.
Yep.
All right. The game changer for Falls Village.
So the Economic Development Committee had gotten together and they did a presentation. And, you know, this is the big issue in this northwest corner. It's been going on for 10 years, but it seems to be really coming to a head right now, which is people feel that in order for there to be healthy sales of real estate and also for economic development, there needs to be high-speed internet. But the flip side of that is that people feel very strongly that they do not want to have 5G here, because they don't want to have, in the same way that people were anxious about cell towers and They don't want to have this technology. They feel that it's dangerous, that it's unhealthy. So, and they don't feel aesthetically that they want to see the little mini chargers that have to be put up all along the roads. So this is going to be the essential question, I think, for a few years until the technology changes again, and then we'll move on to the next topic.
All right. And the topic that's right behind that, of course, is affordable housing. So people we're not talking about low-income housing, affordable housing, so people can move back into the area when they have high-speed internet service and operate businesses and things like that.
Yep.
Kent, you know, we're into such a busy time. We've got weekend in Norfolk coming up. The Kent sidewalk days are coming up. I mean, geez.
There's a ton going on, and thank goodness the weather is broken a little bit, because if you had to go to sidewalk sales and it was 110 degrees or pouring all the time, that would be hard. But yes, and we had the iconic rummage sale in Cornwall last weekend, which I went to and got some incredible stuff. That went on for 3 days. Really, that is one of the best rummage sales, I think, on planet Earth. And we have a very funny story about it by Leela Hawken.
I love the line that's outside of the Mohawk Mountain, because that looks a lot like the line on Friday nights when
Habitat sale, which is also coming up. And we haven't had any press on that, but that's coming up, I think, in the next week or two.
Old school art class for talented teens.
Shane Stanfill, a student at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, had heard that there was going to be an art class there. Warren Prindle, the art teacher, had selected a small number of students, and a teacher named Dan Howe had come, and they set up in the science and the Ag Science Building, and they had the artist's 12-year-old daughter, who's doing a wonderful sort of angular pose. And what the teacher tried to do is set up the feeling of an old school art class where they were just doing, you know, sketches of bodies and still lifes. So very interesting, cool program. This, I think, in its fourth year.
It's easy to learn when there's a goat.
Isn't it always easier when there's a goat or a llama or maybe even a baby cow? But a program that's been going on for several years is 4-H students from the area come to the local libraries and do presentations and work with kids and get them interested in agriculture, which, speaking of time flying by, soon it'll be time for the Goshen Fair.
Cornwall Civil War legacy.
So Roxanna Robinson, a very respected writer, her new book, Dawson's Fall, about the complexity of the Civil War and about the growth of white supremacists in America, and, you know, something that we're facing again as a country, and good to remember that there's always people that are fighting against it as these movements rise up. But she will be signing books at the Sharon Library book signing, which is August 2nd, next Friday.
Nice story there about the Cathedral Pines. I remember how shocked I was when I went after the tornado and saw that whole area just completely knocked down flat. And now you look at it, nature really is amazing.
Even when I first moved up here in about 1999, which I guess is 10 years after the storm, you could still see it. It looked like a moonscape or like a nuclear war had happened, just all these dead trees sort of sticking up in the swamp.
Yeah, but, and you know, Bob Hatch, who was our owner at that time, went up in a plane and took aerial shots that if you go to the Scoville Library or our website and look at our archives, you can find.
Yes, that's super cool. I didn't know that. So Shane Stanfill went on a tour 30 years later, a hike through the Cathedral Pines.
All right, I want to we'll go to the viewpoint pages right now. We'll start off with your editorial, Janet. Summertime means interns at the Journal.
It does, and there's evidence right in the studio this morning. We are so thrilled when they come in the summertime. They bring enthusiasm, interest, great young people, and we're even more thrilled when they come back to us like Quincy did and even as Gabrielle did, because she came back after 2 weeks. So that means, you know, they kind of find it interesting. So we're very glad about that. And we talk about what they bring, what they do, and ask for support in the community as they go out and call you or meet you on the street. Please be supportive.
All right, and on the preceding page, your viewpoint page, lots of different columns, and also we've got lots of letters to the editor again this week.
We do. We have both. And we have a good column from Dick Hollis on an old song about going back to where you came from, and a very moving column from Varujan Frandian, who is an immigrant himself, of course, has lived in this country for many years as a citizen, and we hear his take on that topic, and a very interesting piece from Peter Reeve on Apollo 11, a true story you haven't heard. We've heard so much in broadcast news and elsewhere about the moon landing. This is a very interesting take from Peter Reeve.
All right, so that's those pages, and I want to move on to Shane's story, Peachy Keen Idea for Dairy-Free Cobbler.
So we always have the interns write about food and fruit that they like, and Gabriella, we have two interns, Gabrielle and Gabriella, had written about strawberries last week, and it made it very lyrical, and so we said to Shane, do the same thing with peaches. And he wrote about Ty Cobb, the Georgia peach. And then he talked about being dairy-free. He's got an allergy and a great recipe that he put together. I also want to note that there's two, like all obits are always significant and important, but we have two particularly notable people.
Jack Evans.
Jack Evans, who did Evans Heating and Cooling. You see it as you're driving from Sharon to Salisbury along the flats there. He created a product for cars that would stop it pinging, like when you would turn your car off and it would go like ping, ping, ping. That was because it was so hot and there was liquid in it. So he invented something that would stop that, and he has just passed away suddenly. Condolences, as always, to all of our families, but also Neil Estern, world-famous sculptor, and the father of Tori Jado, who is friends with everybody in the Northwest Corner.
A lot of people don't know the story about Jack Evans is when you see a Corvette nowadays in the low front end, Jack Evans invented the radiator, along with John Fitch, that actually made that possible. It was in Fitch's car. GM came and test drove the car, and stole the idea. Evans sued them years later and won.
Yeah, and went on for years, that suit.
But he won.
That was a meaningful suit.
Yeah, it was one of those stories that we just have amazing people here in the Northwest Corridor, really.
Yeah, and that's a big loss.
Oceans, lakes, and a peaceful state of mind.
So Gabriella, who had been our intern and has gone off on other summer adventures, she's a very lyrical writer, and she's wrote about water and swimming and starts off with her own thoughts about how much she loves lakes, hates the ocean, but what the oceans and lakes do for us.
Now, you also have a real estate, once again, Tri-Corner Real Estate in the paper this week.
Right, and speaking of affordable housing, there's some really great like fixer-uppers for about $150,000. So this is a great time, and interest rates are pretty low and apparently expected to go lower. So do look at Tri-Corner.
All right. The church, how about that fixer-upper, $100,000. And what was the value on that church property?
$1 million, I think.
Yeah. That's
well, and actually, we went, the interns and I went yesterday, and Alexander Wilburn, to the Cornwall Castle, which has just sold, and watched Russell Barton, who's doing an unbelievable job of fixing that place up. And he is the guy who bought the jail in Litchfield and fixed that place up very quickly and has it going with like a doctor's office and a restaurant and all sorts of great stuff. So he was very welcoming to us and is hoping to have the community in for some fundraisers in the first year so that they can see the property before they choose to enjoy their privacy.
We will go on to Compass, a very, very big picture there, Beauty and the Beast. We were at the opening night, and at the opening night, they had well over 225 people, which is amazing, which is a huge crowd for an opening night. And I got to speak to all the tech people, but we'll hand it over to you now, Anne.
yes, this is a big, big, as we all know, a big theater part of the world. Summer theater is major up here. And the Sharon Playhouse did not disappoint with Beauty and the Beast. I've never heard so many raves about a production. Everybody loved it. There's a review by Marsden Epworth, and there's a photograph on the cover. I think most people know the story, especially if you have a daughter. And then there's also the 12th night is in Lenox at Shakespeare and Company, reviewed by CB. That will be playing through August 4th, so don't miss that. There's still time. And then there's also The Skin of Our Teeth playing in Stockbridge through August 3rd, and that's the Berkshire Theater Group that's putting it on. And The big question about a lot of these plays is how do people keep doing them over and over and make them new and interesting? And apparently this production of Skin of Our Teeth by Thornton Wilder is refreshing and new feeling, even though it's an old play.
Now, I think that's where the talent of the directors that in our area that come in, who can take it and interpret things. Mm-hmm. It can be done extremely well sometimes, and it can be done at times where it's just not. But more times than not, probably 90% of the times, the directors that are around here just do an amazing job by reinterpreting things.
Yes, and the big evidence of that is the play Oklahoma, which is such a hit right now with the new interpretation. But anyway, there's also the Jazz Fest in Litchfield, which is not just jazz. I mean, there's the Mike Stern and his band will be playing, but it's down at the Gunnery School in Washington, Connecticut.
And next year they're going to have that brand new center at the Gunnery that they're going to be able to show it in, which is really going to be an amazing space.
Where's the? Oh, I didn't know about the.
Yeah,
new
they're building. They're building a new media center at the Gunnery. So this year they're kind of spread out in different places.
Mm-hmm.
But next year they'll be back in one location.
Well, that's this weekend, and the tickets are still available. We also have a review, of course, the great summer American sport, a review of A History of Baseball by Tyler Kepner, who's a New York Times sports writer.
I thought you were going to say cornhole.
I'm sorry. Baseball History of 10 Iconic Pitches. The review is by Patrick Sullivan. It's a really good book for summer read, especially if you love baseball. And also, don't forget this weekend, or next weekend, I'm sorry, Friday, August 2nd, the book signing will be in Sharon.
Yeah, you've got right next to that. And I mean, next weekend, you've got the book signing in Sharon. You've got the weekend in Norfolk. You've got Kent yes. Sidewalk Days. You've got the Sharon on the Green Arts. I mean, holy smokes.
I mean, you could just be in your car driving from one hot, exciting
event
to another.
You've got to jump out from one side to another, but absolutely.
Then we have a lovely piece by Stephanie Coven about mowing the lawn. It's just basically her thoughts about doing things for yourself. She went out and bought herself a lawnmower. I think it's great exercise for everybody, especially my husband when I make him do it. I love the idea of other people mowing the lawn.
See, when I was a kid, it was assigned to you.
Exactly.
I mean, you had no choice. And exactly. Back when I was a kid, it was the push mower with the blades that turned
right.
around.
Yeah. Yeah, we had that kind also. But my kids all had that duty yeah. as well, but now it's my husband's duty. So far, they've never assigned it to me. Then we also have this coming up this weekend, this famed art collector, Dorothy Vogel. She was a librarian, and her husband was a postal worker. And back in the 60s, they started buying inexpensive art by artists that they thought were going to make it. And they've amassed together an enormous collection in their little tiny rent-controlled apartment in New York. They amassed one of the most important collections of contemporary American art. And Dorothy will be speaking at the Five Point Center for Visual Arts in Torrington. This weekend it's Friday night that she'll be speaking, July 27th. No, I'm sorry, Saturday night. And then we have the final concerts of Summer Portals at Hotchkiss. Check that out. Look at Compass because I can't tell you every date and every time of every event, but it's all in this incredibly jam-packed Compass this week.
And once again, you have the Railroad Days run down, as Cynthia, you were talking about, because you just can't, in one story or talk on the radio, list all the events, you get lost. But when
right.
you can
and
actually
course,
see it in print.
And don't forget that the Fireman's Parade and the fireworks are coming up this weekend.
I can't forget the Fireman's Parade. I am seeing
it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. When are what time are the fireworks?
I think it's
Saturday night,
Saturday.
About 9:30, they shoot it off at behind Lindell's, which you can see it from Lawrence Field or from Canaan, the main street in Canaan. But they have the car show that night. They have the music is over in front of the Canaan Diner that night. At 6 o'clock, the parade begins for the firemen, and then everything breaks loose after that. A big night. And then Sunday, they even have events at Railroad Day.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't forget the Jane Lloyd Fund also on Saturday this
oh,
year.
Oh, the Clam Bake.
At Satry Hill. Well, it's a busy weekend this weekend and next weekend, so I know the interns will be out on the road.
Doing all my work for me. Oh, sorry, just kidding.
All right, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marshall.
Take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio. You can find the journal online, tricornernews.com, on Facebook, and, of course, at your newsstand or home delivery as well.